And good morning. Welcome to the Cheyenne Bottom Show here on 1590 KVGB, 95.5 FM. Our once-a-month visit with Cheyenne Bottom's wildlife manager, Jason Wagner. Of course, one of the highlights of the show. Not saying you're not a highlight, Jason, but we'll have Wildlife Wizard today. Okay, a couple of publications you can get today. Really cool. Amphibians, Turtles, and Reptiles of Cheyenne Bottoms. And the Pocket Guide to Kansas Snakes. You can always keep this. And then if you do get bit, you can reach in and get this handy guide and
see what got you.
You look down and say, oh, that's a plain belly water snake. We don't have plain bellies around here, do we?
Sure we do.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't
know. We have a variety of water snakes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. What about a diamondback water snake?
Oh, yeah. Those are probably one of our more common snakes out the bottoms. A lot of the water snakes, everybody mistakes them for water moccasins or cotton mouse and stuff like that. But
do we have cotton mouse?
No, not in Kansas.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think there's like one recording of one in Kansas.
And it does say a pocket guide to Kansas snakes. So, yeah. Kansas snakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. A New Mexico blind snake.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's why you need to get this book.
Exactly.
So the Wildlife Wizard's coming up. All right, Jason, we've got a full slate to talk about. And first thing we want to talk about is some reminders about walk-in hunting and what you can do and what you're not supposed to do.
Yes. Yeah, walk-in hunting is for hunting purposes only. I've been seeing a lot of posts about people wanting to go shed antler hunting or mushroom collecting or gathering on walk-in hunting, and neither of those activities are legal activities on walk-in hunting. Walk-in hunting is leased just for hunting purposes only. That doesn't mean you could grab a gun, say you're squirrel hunting, and to go collect a bunch of mushrooms off a walk-in. That's not the case. There's very specific rules written in walk-in and with the contract with the landowners. It's only for hunting purposes only, so you can't go in there and collect any vegetation, which includes mushrooms, off of walk-in hunting. And the other thing that I see pretty common, too, so you can shed antler hunt and mushroom hunt on public land, on state-owned and managed properties.
Okay.
But not the walk-in hunting. The other thing we see a lot of is people selling mushrooms. This time of the year, morel mushrooms, more so in eastern Kansas, but again, that is would be not allowed. So any of the mushrooms that are collected off of public lands, you can't have collect those mushrooms and then turn around and sell them, because there's it's the same rule that goes that you can't guide on public land, or you can't have a lemonade stand in the middle of the bottoms or whatever. You can't have any commercial use off of
public
land.
Well, yeah, you can't drive your combine down the road. So, I'm going to take a couple swaths out of here and then go on down the road.
Yeah. So those are just a couple reminders that walk-in hunting is for hunting purposes only, and there are season dates on a lot of the land, too. So this time of year, it's a lot of it is closed to or not doesn't allow public access on the walk-in hunting. We have certain properties that are for turkey hunting, so this time of year, obviously, you can go in there turkey hunting, but again, you can't collect the shed antlers or morel mushrooms unless you get yet. You can if you have landowner permission, so you get approach the landowner and ask for permission. But again, the whole point of the walk-in, a lot of landowners don't want to be bothered by people. That's the point of it. Again, not allowed.
And it's important. I mean, people are offering, walk-in hunting opportunities, so we
don't want it taken away. Yeah, abusing it. And back when I did sign up some of when I was signing up walk-in hunting, that a lot of the trespassing issues, even though it is open to the public, people wanting to go in there and say trap or fish or do other activities, walking, just hiking or whatever, that's not allowed on the walk-in hunting too. And that was some of the reason I did have to pull a couple pieces of walk-in, just because of the extracurricular activities, I guess you want to call them, that the landowner wasn't wanting on their property.
You know, people go in walk-in hunting so they go fish out of their...
Yeah. Or trapping seemed to be a couple of them, and then you have a concentration of people, you have traps out there, and kind kind of have a conflict with some of the bird hunters, upland bird hunters and stuff, dogs getting caught in traps and stuff. So
okay, so just, yeah. All right, great stuff there. Okay, you're getting a lot of questions right now on birds, water,
yes,
in combination.
Yes. We got so this time of the year is kind of our peak, or getting close to our peak use for bird watchers, and we've been having a good number of bird watchers coming out. A lot of people calling asking about what birds we have available right now is probably about our peak variety or getting close to. We have a lot of the shorebirds are starting to come in. We still have some waterfowl out there. Our water's diminishing off pretty quick, as you can imagine. Even though it hasn't been just extremely hot or anything like that, with all these wind days and stuff, it's really sucking it down. The only water that we really have available is pool 1A, and it's probably down to about 8 inches. It's not going to last a whole lot longer. The Walnut Creek is just barely trickling. I mean, you might as well not even count there even any water coming in through the walnuts, even though, I mean, it's barely flowing at all. So it's looking pretty bleak again. And as these wind days come, I've been getting several calls about all the big dust storms. It looks like there's fire out there, and people, you're burning today. I'm like, no, that's just dust blowing. That's free silt removal happening right there. It's been unfortunate. Yeah, we're definitely going to backwards a little bit. So, but we're gonna. It looks like it's getting close to conditions where we can start working in some of the pools again. We don't have a whole lot of cattail stuff to take care of. We've got most of those taken care of, but we could do a lot of prep work for millet planting and planting of food within the pools and stuff, which we'll get started on that shortly.
What kind of traffic is there out there for bird watchers?
There's quite a bit. There's been, I don't know, I mean, like yesterday at one spot, there must have been something pretty popular or something rare or something. I don't know. I didn't stop and talk to them, but there was about 6 vehicles parked there, and then you see several caravans. You know, there's been a lot of traffic, and one thing I want to remind bird watchers, and I haven't had a problem with it being local, but I see it every year. Have to run out a lot of people out of the refuge, and it's most of the time it's a bird watcher that I'm running out of the refuge. Yesterday, I happened to catch 2 of them in there. Had to remind them where the refuge boundaries. The refuge still applies to all activities, so the refuge is closed to all activities, including bird watching. Most of the stuff is viewable from the roads, so view them from a distance a little bit like that. So. And the other thing is, if you're out there bird watching, please pull off the side of the road.
Middle?
No, well, yeah, don't be the guy that was yesterday. I'm trying to get down the road with a piece of equipment, and his truck or his car and his spot and scope was set up dead center in the middle of the road, and he's 300 yards away, and I can't really get around him just because of the way everything was positioned. So, anyway, don't be that guy, please.
Don't be that guy. Okay. Some extended seasons you want to talk about today?
Yes. So we recently passed. We've been getting a lot of pressure to increase harvest for coons and possums and nest raiders. At the last commission meeting there at the end of March, it was passed to allow for an extended season to take raccoons and possums. Been getting a lot of questions about that. It has taken effect, so it's going to be basically a year-round harvest on coons and possums. It starts the day after for harvester season ends, which is last day in February, and then goes until the day before regular for harvester season starts. So it allows take of coons and possums. You can trap them with what's called dog-proof traps, or they're in the regulations, foot and encapsulating traps, so a dog-proof trap, which are pretty common, or live traps only. So it allows for the if you catch a non-target for a release without being any kind of harm to them. And then the dog proof is really kind of more of a coon specific trap anyway. So you could also hunt them during regular using the legal methods that are allowed during for harvester season. So that includes you go out there and call them, which is really getting really popular, calling coons out of trees, their den trees. You cannot use any of the night vision or thermal, et cetera. Like, those are not allowed. The only allowance on any kind of harvest with using artificial light is still just like the regular fir harvester season, where there are lights only for taking a trapped animal or one that's treed. So you can still run dogs this time of the year, run your coon hounds out and capture and get coons, and you're just able to harvest them now. So we encourage, we've been getting a lot of pressure as an agency to liberalize the raccoon harvest with good reason. I mean, there is a lot of coons out there. So we've done this. We've gone through several steps in the last several years to liberalize the coon harvest because the fur prices are non-existent right now on the coons, and their population's taken off a little bit. So we're allowing people to do this. So we're encouraging people, if you guys wanted this, let's take advantage of it. A lot of people were thinking that that's the cause to the lack of pheasants, quail, turkey, the nest raiders. So if you think that's the reason, go out there. We've allowed this to happen. Get after it, increase the harvest. And we're really encouraging people to get out there and use this. So,
okay, we're going to talk about opening day of turkey season, which is today, right?
You're right.
Okay, yep. Okay. And we're going to do, so we'll do that. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. Wildlife wizard, get ready. If you want to be a wizard, you can wear the hat. We don't have a hat, but you can act like you're wearing a hat. And that's coming up next here. Get ready to call 792-2479.
Do you feel insecure about the health and look of your teeth? Nervous about finding a solution? You never have to worry about that with us. At Central Kansas Dentistry, we choose to focus on the future instead of blaming the past. We just want to help you feel and look better from this point on. If you would like help getting back to a healthy, confident smile, let's work together to figure out how to make it happen. Give Central Kansas Dentistry a call at 785-472-3803.
Come see why so many people from all over Kansas are choosing Central Kansas Dentistry and Ellsworth to fix their grill. Let us show you how easy it can be.
Sutherland's in Great Bend is a locally owned and operated home improvement store that has been in business for over 100 years. They care about customer service and are looking for employees who enjoy a friendly workplace and can provide good customer service and don't mind a little hard work. Sutherland's is looking for full and part-time daytime cashiers and sales floor associates. Students 16 and older must be available weekends and evenings during the week. Apply in person at Sutherland's, West 10th, Great Bend.
Wildlife wizard time here on the Cheyenne Bottom Show. Your chance to cash in and get a pocket guide to Kansas snakes and amphibians, turtles, and reptiles of Cheyenne Bottoms. All right, Jason Wagner. Let's make somebody a wildlife wizard. The question today is...
Okay, we're going to go with the turkey theme again. It's opening day of regular turkey season, so the shotgun season opens up today. And I've been doing some research on turkeys, and a lot of different states are doing research on turkeys to try to help improve their populations because it's pretty much tanking nationwide. But one of the recent studies in Nebraska had a young hen turkey, so a year-old hen turkey, which is a jenny, do her spring dispersal, which is typical, from late March till mid-April. This was in Nebraska. How many miles did that young hen turkey travel in that 15-day period?
15-day period. Okay, 792-2479 is the number. How many miles did the turkey travel in 15 days? Okay. Wildlife wizard question. What do you think?
250 miles.
No, that's a little much.
Okay, yep, all right, no 250. Problem. We throw it out there and get it started. Okay. Yeah. All right. What do you have?
700.
No, we're getting way further away.
I was going to say, those are athletic turkeys. Go that far. Okay. You could be the wildlife wizard. What do you think?
130.
No, still too much.
Too much. Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. 792-2479. We're down to 130 miles in 15 days. That's the longest journey. I'm surprised I haven't had a word. It's called a jenny?
A jenny. Yeah.
A jenny. Okay. All right. Welcome to the show. What do you think?
50.
Yep. Exactly 50 miles.
50. Who's this?
This is Dana, the egg lady.
The egg lady.
Nice.
Okay, well, Dana, I've got your books here. They'll be at the radio station.
Okay, that's great. I've finally got one. Wow.
You've got two today, so.
Yes, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah,
well, thank
okay.
you. I don't know when I'll be in. Sometime this week.
Okay, sounds good. All right, we'll have Hesh stop by when he buys eggs.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. Okay, 15 miles?
50.
Or 50 miles.
50 miles in 15 days. So, yeah, what happens this time of year, let's back it up about January time on turkey. So, again, opening day of turkey season, I got turkeys on the brain. It's that time of year. So, and they just, I've said it before, they just fascinate me. I love turkeys.
It's your favorite bird.
Yes. Yeah. Favorite animal to critter to take or pursue, I guess. I'm pursuing them this year. I haven't been doing much taking. It's been a struggle even to find one. But anyway, so what happens back in January or so, the toms, the male turkeys start going through a pecking order, and they start doing a lot of fighting and stuff. And then they kind of establish dominance amongst themselves, and then they start dispersing it and going out to areas where during the to the breeding spring area. They have different wintering habitats, but they have different requirements than they do having the breeding requirements. And usually the hens kind of determine the general area of where they want to nest at because of the nesting conditions. But the toms generally go to the same areas every year, the same general area every year, and that's called a lek.
Okay.
And you see it more, a lekking is more typical of like the prairie chickens and uh-huh. sage grouse, where they have all the males come to one small spot. They do the displaying, the hens come there, and then they kind of pick their mate. Turkeys have what's called an exploded lek breeding. So they have multiple leks, they have smaller groups of males, and then they have multiple leks that they go to and display. It's an open area. A lot of people call them strut zones or whatever. It's kind of an open area where toms will come display to try to attract the hens. They do the gobbling. The toms will do gobbling to keep tabs on other males in the area, but also to attract the hens. Typically, on a the scenario is the toms gobble and the hens come to them. Well, when we're hunting them, we're trying to pull the opposite, where the hens, we're trying to get the tom to come to us by calling. But usually, that's because of that lekking behavior. It's the same way with prairie chickens. They make that sound and it travels a long distance, and they're trying to bring them to their territory where they want to come to. And again, that's because they have this pecking order established already with the other toms, other gobblers in that area. Generally speaking, in wildlife, it's usually the young males that do the big dispersals, and that kind of helps with genetic diversity within the flocks, because turkeys tend to have low genetic diversity. They have the same flocks, use the same wintering grounds every year, and they go to kind of the same breeding grounds every year. So they kind of have, they don't have tons of genetic diversity actually within their flocks, even though this hen turkey that we talked about, she traveled a long ways. The hens, the young hens, the jennies, are the ones that actually do the big dispersals, what they're finding out in some of this research that they're doing. Whereas we usually typically think it was the jakes that were doing the big dispersals, but they're finding out through a lot of different research studies and stuff that it's the jennies that are doing the big dispersals and stuff. They're making the big ways, distances to find their own breeding grounds or nesting grounds and stuff. Again, the turkey issue is something that's a nationwide issue. There's all kinds of research going on in all different states. Kansas is... We just ramped up a turkey study as well, so we're trying to gather as much information about nesting behavior, predation, survival rates of turkeys, all that type of information, breeding, chronology, just general ecology, things we thought we knew about turkeys. We're trying to refigure them out with the new advances in technology with the backpack collars. What we do is that a lot of them are getting fitted with a little backpack that has a little solar charger. I've talked about it with ducks before. They're doing that with turkeys, so then we could get better information about very specific or zeroed in habitat use, that type of stuff. So we could gather a heck of a lot more information and hopefully figure out what some of the solution to our low bird numbers. And people have been, you keep hearing that, oh, our bird numbers are fine. When you hear about these big dispersals that they're making, yeah, they may be fine during the winter months. You see these big flocks of turkeys, and but that big flock breaks down into a whole bunch of those, what I said, the exploded lecks and stuff, that break down into a whole bunch of these smaller flocks. And that flock of what, you know, maybe this winter was 100 birds is now, you know, 20 flocks of 5 birds, whereas, you know, a couple years ago, that flock of 100 birds might have been 200 or 300 birds, so that, you know, there was a lot more, population, and you know, just because there's a big flock during the winter months doesn't mean that, you know, that the population is fine. And it's been a struggle the last few years for turkeys, and it's really showing this year, or the last couple years, but this year there's just not the turkeys in places that there were. Seems like, yeah, out here we've maybe hopefully reached our low point this year, but I don't know.
So we've decreased the number of hunting days, right?
We haven't necessarily decreased the number of hunting days. Okay. We've decreased the number of we've decreased the fall season to nothing, where we suspended the fall season. We've decreased the number of permits to non-residents by 25%. And then it used to be in certain units that you could kill 2 birds in the spring. It's down to 1 bird in the spring. And that becomes pretty critical in when you hear, check my time here. I want to cover this about the jakes. So jakes are the same as a jenny. They were hatched last year. A jenny is the hen that was hatched last year. A jake is the gobbler that was hatched last year. A lot of people are thinking that, or have thought, there's been a lot of misconceptions on jakes. They could do some of the breeding. But the jakes, it usually takes a turkey 2 years to reach sexual maturity. So they haven't been able to, a lot of the jakes may be acting like they're breeding or a placeholder of a tom, but they actually aren't breeding. They don't have, they're not mature enough to be able to do a lot of the breeding. So that tom that's there helps suppress some of their testosterone, and it helps prevent some of the jakes from breeding. So if the jakes are doing the breeding and they're not mature, where they're not going to produce a fertilized egg, it doesn't do any good. So part of the problem or the issue is the tom, if it gets taken out, the tom of that flock is taken out, and then the jakes are left there. The hen is still going to be laying eggs and go through the process, but she's not going to be laying fertilized eggs because the jakes don't have the capability of producing a fertilized egg. So you take that tom out of the equation, jakes take over, they start acting like they're going to be breeding or going through the process, but nothing's happening. Whereas the tom is still with that flock of hens, he suppresses those jakes. They have decreased levels of testosterone. The jakes aren't doing any of the breeding. All the breeding is done by the toms. So what they're finding out with that is a lot of the states are starting to back off their turkey season, changing their turkey dates, as you had kind of mentioned, pushing them back a little later to make sure that the hens get bred by toms before the toms get taken out by hunters. In Kansas, this year is a pretty late season. It goes by, depends on the calendar year when our season starts. This year it's the 17th. It's about as late as it could possibly be, which is a good thing, again, to preserve some of those toms and stuff. So hopefully that people have a little bit better understanding of why it's important maybe to keep some of those toms in with those hens and not just go out and harvest every tom out of every flock of hens. Most of the breeding by now has been done by the hens. A hen can be bred only a couple times, and then she'll be able to produce fertilized eggs for an extended period of time after that. So right now, we're late enough in the year. The hens have kind of established their nesting behavior, where they're nested. They'll go off and start laying that egg a day until she lays enough eggs where she'll start sitting on it. And I've seen that in the last couple, about the last 7 days or so, about 5 to 7 days ago, I started seeing a few hens that were obviously going off and laying an egg. They're going off by themselves. You see them in the flock in the morning, and then all of a sudden they're gone, you know, you'll see a hen by herself, and what she's doing, she goes off and lays a nest or starts laying an egg in her nest and stuff. So then the toms and hunters can play that in their advantage, because shortly after fly down, the hens go off, lay their egg, and then the tom's stuck by himself. So usually that works out pretty good for hunters to hunt later in the morning or sometimes the evenings too. A lot of the toms will go back toward that roost where they roost in a big tree every evening. The toms will work their way back trying to gather the hens again for the morning. So then that routine plays out again. So,
wow.
Yeah, like I said, it's just all the research, the new research and stuff that's coming out with the backpack stuff. It's just completely fascinating, the information that we're able to gather. And like I said, there's a study going on in Kansas multiple areas throughout Kansas, and hopefully we could get to the bottom of the root of the cause of some of the problems that we're having with the hen, the population crash or whatever. I mean, like I drove Saturday morning. I left my house at 6:30 in the morning, and I drove up to Russell, Salina, north of Salina, then over to Clay Center. I saw two birds the whole time. And if anybody that's ever ridden in the truck with me this time of the year, my head is on a swivel. I look more for turkeys than I do the road. I'm dangerous. My wife cusses me. She hates when we go on these trips because then I'm like, there should be turkeys there. Why is there, you know, the whole time? I think she was annoyed with me. But two turkeys all the way from Otis, Kansas to Clay Center and then back middle of the afternoon, which I wouldn't expect much. But I drove up, like I said, prime time when they fly down. When they get into those strut zones, when they're out in those open fields and trying to be visible, as visible as possible. Two turkeys that whole trip. That was pretty shocking to me.
Well, Jace, let me ask you this. We reached critical stage?
We're getting to that stage where, when I remember the first couple of years I turkey hunted, in the it would have been 94 or 95. We're getting to that population or that time when we were in a draw for residents on turkeys. Yeah, we're getting pretty low in some areas. Some places I've talked to some of the hunters and stuff, they're having a population rebound. So I'm hopeful that maybe it'll start working its way back in the right direction. I hope.
Talked to about egg robbers earlier. Who's some other, or nest robbers or nesters or would like,
the coons. Nest raiders?
Nest raiders, yeah. There it is.
Coons, skunks, and possums are the main ones.
Okay.
On turkeys. Snakes can be on the on some of the smaller birds and stuff. So, and then we're also collecting some samples for disease. If there's any interest in, we're going to be trying to figure out maybe if there's a disease issue going on with turkeys too. So we're collecting samples off of harvested turkeys for disease sampling as well.
Just a little bit here. Anything else?
That would be, it's that time of year, spray yourself. I say this a lot, spray yourself with permethrin. I was out turkey hunting the other day and sitting there watching a tick crawl up my leg, and I've already sprayed myself. I'm going to see how long this thing lives. And it took him about 5 minutes. So initially he was crawling fine, and then he started crawling a little goofy and was dead within 5 minutes. So spray yourself. I haven't picked a tick off me yet.
I'm telling you, this is what Jason Wagner does for you. He'll let a tick crawl on him to find out if the Promethean works.
Yes, and it does.
Okay. So he just starts stumbling and falls over.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Jason, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
That's the Cheyenne Bottom Show here for this month on KVGB. News is next here on the radio.